you can't start some shit.
Welcome to Fireside.
Welcome to Fireside. We'll be talking comic books the entire time. Ain't going nowhere, so dry your eyes.
Already lasted longer than Firefly.
Stay tuned, Mitty's got the grooviest news.
From books to TV, even movie reviews.
Plus the next toy, baby, here will you choose.
Even the superhero fight club will we usually lose.
So pop in those earbuds, turn up those speakers.
Feel Mama's power, Earth 2 with features.
And either listen by weekly or you can binge us.
We got it all, baby.
Are there ninjas?
So relax and lie back
as we start another issue of Fireside Chats.
Comic facts and wise cracks.
Welcome to the show. This is Fireside Chats.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another issue of Fireside Chats. I'm your host, Menti. And with me, as always, are my wonderful sidekicks. First, Mr. P Features.
Hello, internets.
And then there's Mauer.
Beep you.
Terrible.
You're terrible.
Maybe, but that was just as bad.
No, you know you're terrible. Terrible.
I'm not even going back and forth with you. I'm not doing this.
I'm not going back and forth with you.
That was bad.
Listen, listen.
You know it was bad.
Listen.
It was lazy.
Hey,
listen.
Hey.
Listen. 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 Baby Huey's here.
Hey, Baby Huey.
Both of you, stop it.
What's going on, Baby Huey?
What's going on?
What's going on, Baby Huey? What's going on?
What's going on?
Features. You're the only one of us that sounds good.
No, that you guys just haven't put your harmonies together yet. That's all.
I don't think we ever will.
We've tried. It does not go well.
All right, let's see. You know, you go high, I'll go low. Ready?
Okay.
One,
what's
two,
going
three.
On?
We can't even count in together.
What's going on, Mauer? What's going on?
Jesus Christ, what day is it?
This is the Wednesday show, and that's where we talk about the what?
The new news.
Or the news that we missed last week if it's old. Sometimes we do that.
The news.
No, 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 no. We were way past that. That's not, no. there's nothing that I want.
Huey,
there's no, there's
don't
no
turn
Skype
around
because
Huey is now without his pants behind you.
Oh, he's got to start going to somebody else's house.
He was here for long enough.
Yeah, but he kept his pants on.
You don't
here
know
for
that.
Some reason. It's like
you don't know that.
It's like Woodstock here. He's running around. You know, he's putting mud on his face. It's bizarre.
Huey, stop peeing in the corner.
Oh, that's what that smell was. God, I thought he just ate a lot of asparagus before he came over.
I tried house training him. It just didn't work.
Wow.
All right, well, we got a lot of things to talk about that are comic-related opposed to the bathroom habits of Baby Huey. let's got a few things that we want to touch on. For example, DC's DC's Amazonian makes her way onto the CW.
Got that?
No.
Okay.
Want to try it again?
No.
Okay.
All right.
For everybody's sake, no, we're good.
And we also got Star-Lord joining the cast of Thor 4.
Nice. It sounds like we talked about that before. And we got Zack Snyder talking about casting his Catwoman. Yeah, I said that.
Before Thor?
I don't know what that meant. And I don't know why it made me laugh.
I don't know why he's bobbing his head so much. Baby Huey, you don't want to look what he's writing with.
Oh my God. Stop it. Stop it. And don't you say, oh my God, behind me.
Don't.
Oh my God.
Never mind. Let's start off in comics
himself.
With the comic related current events in the comics world.
Look at Mauer trying to keep us on track.
I know. He's doing his best, but.
This is you, Huey.
Nudist Huey over here.
Let me put my clothes back on.
So let's start off with some
Huey.
Terrible news, Baby Huey.
Huey.
Some
this
terrible,
is you.
This is actually great news. So if you've been following Spider-Man recently,
I haven't.
He's been fighting a villain called Kindred, and in the 50th issue, we learned that Kindred is actually Harry Osborn. And
we talked about Kindred before. That's the dude with all the bugs.
Yeah.
He's the really creepy guy
yes.
with all the bugs.
Yes. But the thing is, though...
Stupid name, cool-looking guy.
Kindred's a cool name.
Yeah.
Kindred's a cool name.
But the thing is, Harry's alive, and this Kindred is actually dead, well, resurrected. So if Harry's already alive and this Kindred is Harry, the only explanation that is this Harry is actually the dead version of Harry back before Brand New Day, One More Day.
What was One More Day again?
So One More Day was when Mephisto made a deal with Mary Jane and Peter to wipe away their marriage, and then we got Brand New Day because of that.
It was the dumbest thing Joe Quesada did. Joe Quesada did a lot of wonderful things for Marvel. That was not one of them.
Listen,
and that pissed off a
Mary
lot
Jane
of
was
Spider-Man
just
fans.
Through with his shit. She didn't want a divorce. She wanted the whole thing erased.
No, well, that was the weirdest decision Mephisto. It was the weirdest Mephisto like ultimatum of anybody. Like most people, he's like, "I'll take your soul." This one, he's like, "I want your marriage." Why? You weirdo?
Happiness.
This is the most bizarre thing. You're the Ghost Rider, dude. What are you doing?
Now, the only thing I'm wondering is if let's just say this retcons that whole One More Day thing, right? If you remember, at the end of One More Day, Aunt May was dying from a gunshot.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Civil War, he revealed his identity to the world. Every villain was after him.
Kingpin sent an assassin to kill him, and he ended up shooting Aunt May.
Well, yeah, and that really is. I mean, we make jokes that I want your marriage, but you know, for Peter, he had to choose save Aunt May and lose MJ,
MJ. Yeah, but he didn't lose her. That's not like a normal Mephisto would be. Is like, okay, Dr. Doom, he took his mother. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I'm going to just take your marriage. She's just going to be a little, when next time you say hi. Like, I don't know. That's the most bizarre thing. And here, let me just back this up a little bit, because another big thing happened in Spider-Man 52. Spoiler alert.
Yes.
Spoiler alert. But the way that this issue ends is not something that we can just gloss over.
I was getting to that.
No, you were not.
I was getting to that because at the end of the issue, Kindred snaps Peter's neck. So he is technically dead.
A giant centipede does. But to be fair, they were also using I can't say the word. I don't want to say ancestral plane because that's not it.
Astral plane?
Astral plane. That's the
word. Astral projection.
Yeah, so, Doctor Strange is involved in this story as well. So they're going with him killing Peter. They're gonna end up in front of Mephisto again. I think it's where it's all leading.
I don't think he got killed. He killed Peter. I think this is just to snap him out of the ancestral plane.
The ancestral plates.
Ew.
That stuff you got in your china closet that your great grandma gave you that you have to keep just because it was given to you.
But like when this happened, I didn't care as much. Like issue 700, right? That sucked. In the Ultimate Universe, when Parker died, that sucked. When he got wiped out of his own memory, that sucked. This one was like, all right, they're trying to Donatello me right now.
That's because anytime you're dealing with the ancestral planes,
and it was spit his drink all over.
you know that shit's gonna happen. Like,
I didn't almost. I did. I'm wearing half a can of Monster right now.
He's a squirter.
Oh, like, my God. Baby Huey. Jesus.
Like, I think it would have been better had they, like, hidden the fact they were using astral projection and then have that come up afterwards as, like, the, like, oh, my God, he's dead. Nope. It's just the projection of him. Like, them kind of folding that ahead of time. Eh. That's what takes the sting away. And it's also comics.
Death in comics it's like, especially after the Jonathan Hickman X-Men run, it just people die left and right, and it just it loses its appeal. It's just quick shock value, and all right, so give me what, 3 issues and he'll be back?
Miles Morales killed any chance we had of death meaning something in comics.
Miles Morales?
Yep.
I believe
Superman?
That was Superman.
No. Miles Morales, because in the Ultimate Universe, when you were dead, you were dead until killed Spider-Man.
Well,
and that was also true in the in normal comics until Superman. So this goes way beyond Miles. The allure of bringing back characters is not a Miles Morales thing. It's
but
not
in the Ultimate Universe, that was one of their rules. If you die in the Ultimate Universe, you will not come back.
And let's that wasn't Miles Morales. That was shitty fans.
Don't you put that evil on Miles Morales.
That wasn't anybody. Shitty fans. That was good fans being like, why are you shoehorning this in to kill Spider-Man?
Because you knew he was going to come back. It doesn't matter. And you also had the 616 universe still.
You didn't know he was going to come back until that point. They had kept true to that rule.
When Spider-Man happened and 616 Parker showed up in the Ultimate Universe before he came back, I'm just saying, things happen.
That was
comics.
Them fixing their mistake of killing Spider-Man.
No, that wasn't Miles Morales. That wasn't the fictional character's fault.
It's all Miles Morales' fault.
No, it was the DC board saying, well, we're going to fake a death.
If DC was involved in that, we know it was screwed up.
That was bad.
It's Marvel.
That was bad. That was bad. That was a bad joke.
Move on to more Marvel news.
Well, all right. What happened with Maria Hill? Because
speaking of
bitch is dead.
Wow.
Listen, she was a shitty, shitty character, and she did some shitty, shitty things, she deserved to be killed.
What shitty things are you referring to?
After
your mother.
What did you?
How I met your mother.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, you don't remember her after Civil War and being in control of S.H.I.E.L.D. and kind of keeping everybody out?
Well, I just figured that, you know, with you being an Iron Man fan during the Civil War period, you wouldn't have as much of an issue with Maria Hill since, you know, they were cohorts.
He's cohorted every female character. But she's on the run. Nick Fury doesn't think... Or sorry, not, she's dead. Supposedly killed...
Spoiler alert. All right, if anyone's pissed off, it's not me this time.
He's dead.
Supposedly killed by Taskmaster, but there's somebody that doesn't believe that it was him that killed her.
Who?
The spy of all spies.
Not really.
James Bond?
Well, he's dead too.
Come on, man. Come on.
God, Jesus, man.
Really?
Like, that was...
Dude, Nick Fury.
Too soon.
You don't think Nick Fury is the spy of all spies, Huey?
His dad, yes. This is Nick Fury Jr.
He's still... Mm-mm. He's Nick Fury.
Eh.
He's just retconned to look like...
He was shoehorned in because of the Ultimate Universe. That's
yes.
Why.
So he is there with Taskmaster telling him to run because in his world, or his mind, the deadliest Avenger is coming after him, which is who?
Sentry.
Black Widow.
Hulk.
Black Widow.
Scarlet Witch.
No, Black Widow.
Scarlet Witch isn't an Avenger anymore.
Black Widow. Black Widow's hunting him.
The goddamned Hulk.
The Hulk definitely is not an Avenger anymore.
But
I don't think.
Just said, who's the deadliest Avenger?
This looks like it's going to be cool because Taskmaster is going to have to try and play some spy games, which you normally don't see him in that kind of role. And go up against Coulson and his team, the Squadron Supreme America.
AKA Marvel's Justice League. That's all they are.
Hyperion, Power Princess, Nighthawk, Blur, and Dr. Spectrum.
Well, and let me see. Dr. Spectrum, you mean the Green Lantern? The Blur, you mean the Flash? Nighthawk, you mean Batman? Power Princess, you mean Wonder Woman? Hyperion, you mean Superman? It's the beeping Justice League.
So
ridiculous. This goes back to something we were talking about before where they were saying Yelena, when they brought Yelena back recently. This is because we should have seen that more the Black Widow movie by this point. So they're all of the books they were prepping to release around the same time, they couldn't push them off any further. They were like, oh, look, we're out of stuff. We got to put it out.
Yeah.
So this is in preparation for the release of Black Widow, probably to Disney Plus at this point, but we'll see.
Listen, you and I both have the first appearance of Taskmaster, so we want him to do well.
That's true. Go ahead, Tasky.
He's a cool character. I think he's one of those characters that doesn't get, you know, the accolades he deserves. He's always...
Let's do a breakdown.
Taskmaster.
No, not right now. I'm saying he gets a full show.
Ooh. I feel like we did that already, though.
We never did a full show on Taskmaster, did we? Hugh, you're our historian.
Pretty sure we did a breakdown, though.
We've done it before.
We've done breakdowns. We haven't done a show.
But we haven't done like an entire show dedicated to Taskmaster.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. All right, let's for time's sake, let's keep this moving.
Moving on.
So real quick, this one's an easy one. So with the King in Black on its way, yeah, we should be seeing Null in the 616 Earth soon enough.
I'm excited for this.
Right now, we've got a first look at one of the covers to some of the tie-ins that are coming in, and one of the tie-ins looks pretty wild. It was announced a while back, but it kind of slid under the radar. But it's a Gwenom versus Carnage, but this is not the normal Carnage.
Nope.
This is Mary Jane Watson as Carnage.
Looks badass.
Looks really cool. Now, this isn't Mary Jane's first time as Carnage. In one of the cartoons, she became Carnage Queen for a little bit. But the fact that this Carnage... Oh, by the way, let me backtrack, because this is Earth, what is it, 65? I think that's her Earth in like the Marvel numbers. This is Spider-Gwen's world. So this is the Mary Jane that was in the same band as Gwen Stacy, where they used to argue about the band name and stuff. Like, this is
okay,
her
so friend. This is the one where Peter's dead, right?
Yes.
It's her Mary Jane.
Yes. And remember, Gwenom, the Venom symbiote, is man-made. It's not Null. It's not Null-controlled. So yeah, I'm interested to hear a little bit more about where this Carnage version comes from. Like, is it an offspring of a man-made symbiote? Like, I don't know. There's a lot of cool potential here, but the cover looks incredible. It is Gwenom fighting, I'm going to call her Carnage Queen just because that's a cool name.
Gwenom.
Huey, wasn't Venom man-made in one of the cartoons?
Actually, in the current Spider-Man cartoon on Disney XD.
It's man-made in that, right?
Yeah, both. They've done both. They've done a man-made version, a synthetic, they're calling it. And then they're doing the Clintar stuff.
That would be cool if that has, you know, the fact that it's man-made, you know, if Venom is somehow able to bond with the man-made side of it, and that's what makes him immune to the control.
That would be very cool. And that would also put Gwenom way more on the map than she is.
And the man-made Venom right now is the Maker has him.
What's one kind of cool thing, just to wrap this little tidbit up here, there's another tie-in for King in Black coming that I'm very excited for because it's the most ridiculous one, which is Iron Man and Doctor Doom are fighting a Null-controlled Santa Claus.
Wait, what?
Played by Mel Gibson.
And let me tell you right now, yeah, Fat Man, Santa Claus is an Omega level mutant in the Marvel universe. Santa Claus is an actual character. If they bring that version of Santa back, like the one that got the Infinity Gauntlet, like if we get that crazy Santa again, fighting Dr. Doom and Iron Man, oh my God, that's going to be hysterical. Like, could you imagine?
Stand a chance?
Dude, a venomized Santa Claus.
Listen, Robert Downey Jr. was trying to get Mel Gibson involved in the Marvel Santa universe Claus? For years. So now we're going to get it.
What would be Venom Claws or Carnage Claws?
Carnage Claws.
All right. Let's keep this moving. Let's real quick, just a little bit of Ninja Turtle news just for nostalgia's sake. In one of the more recent Ninja Turtles canon comics, right? The, what is it? Issue 100 and what? 10? 111?
111.
They introduced some characters that for some reason have never actually made it into the comics, which you think they would have. They made it into cartoons. They've made it into video games, but they've never actually made it into the comics. And they are the dumbest of the mutants, and I love them so very much.
Babies!
They're babies!
From Secret of the Ooze, we got Toka and Razar is finally... Well, no, okay, let me back up. I'm just excited for this. It's not technically Toka and Razar, at least not yet. All we know is it's the wolf and the snapping turtle, and they look a crap ton like Toka and Razar. They don't have the armor and stuff, but you're like, So,
which is funny because all they are is replacements for Bebop and Rocksteady since they couldn't put Bebop and Rocksteady in the movie.
Right. And because the movie became just as popular as the cartoon did, The Token Razar, they stayed up there with Bebop and Rocksteady all these years.
Like, so this is multiplicity happening. This is the copy of the copy of the copy.
In a beautiful way. So my hope is they keep this going and we get some actual, and I hope it's the same, like they stole the baby wolf and snapping turtle from the Bronx Zoo. You know, I hope it's still like the mama. Like I want those. They don't look it. They look a lot more badass. They're not dumb. They're infants. Okay, they're stupid infants.
All right.
Let's talk about one quick DC news, and then we'll move into TV. And this one will be pretty quick because we don't have a lot of information on it. But with one of the one-shots from Future State coming out, we have The House of El, which looks pretty cool. It takes place thousands of years in the future. It's got descendants of John Kent as well as like an old man Superman. But one of the Kryptonians... Right, descendants of Krypto, and actually this one is a descendant of Jonathan Kent. So this one's pretty cool because of the human DNA factor, and we've seen how that works with Jonathan. Like, remember how he was able to fall and skin his knee because of the human side of him?
Yep.
What does that look like years and years and years down the line? Like that bloodline continuing. What does that eventually look like? So this is a version of a futuristic Superman that has access to a Blue Lantern ring.
So what's blue again?
Let's backtrack. Blue Lantern is the Ring of Hope, which makes sense for, you know, Superman.
It's right? Not an S. It's a symbol.
Mistakenly starts with an S.
But like you can't just get a Blue Lantern ring. It's not like it chooses you. You have to go through trials for the Blue Lantern ring, and there's not many Blue Lanterns. So the fact that we've got this, you know, years and years and years into the future version of the Blue Lanterns, I'm very excited to see how their world has evolved, like how the Blue Lantern Corps has evolved, or maybe it hasn't evolved. Maybe it's just she came across this Blue Lantern battery and was able to harness the power of hope. There's a lot of cool things you could do with this. So I'm just excited that not only are we getting a whole bunch of different versions of Superman in this book, the fact that they're bringing in a futuristic version of the Blue Lanterns means that there's still room for the ever expansive Green Lantern mythos, which seems to be like taking a back seat to a lot of the Dark Knight's metal stuff. You know what I mean? Like as far as the cosmic side of DC, it's not as grandiose as Marvel. It's pretty much just the Green Lantern Corps and all the Lantern Corps. It's like, that's it. That's what they got.
And Dark Knight's metal.
Right, Dark Knight's metal seems to be taking that to a whole new place, and it's really kind of outshined anything for Green Lantern, which is probably just until these Green Lantern shows come around. Like when this HBO Max show and it, you know, makes its debut or starts getting close, I'm sure we're getting a lot more Green Lantern stuff. But still dope, pretty cool. I like a Kryptonian Hope Blue Lantern. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I might go back and read some of the Green Lantern stuff. I liked Green Lantern when I was a kid. I liked Hal a whole lot. He was a fighter pilot. Like, to me, that was the Green Lantern. And I liked Kyle. But then when they went to space and did all kinds of space stuff and all the different rings, they lost me because it became too complex. And that probably was back when I was reading. I didn't want to get involved. Like, to me, I have such a fear because of X-Men going to space that anytime a space book happens, I'm like, oh, nope, they're X-Men in me.
X-Men didn't really belong in space as much as the Green Lanterns do, because it always came from Oa. Like, it was always a space thing.
Right.
Like, well, no, it wasn't always, but any modern Green Lantern fan, it's always been space. And yes, I would agree that the Lantern mythos gets complicated when you look at it from the surface level, but if you follow along Hal Jordan going through each Lantern Corps and learning about the Corps through Hal Jordan's travels in the Geoff Johns books, it's not as complicated, because it's really just Green Lantern Rebirth brings us back to the willpower. Then we've got Sinestro Corps War, which brings us back into fear. Then we've got, we meet the Red Lanterns and Hal has to wear the Red Lantern ring, and you can't just remove that because it'll remove your heart and you'll die. So that whole book was pretty cool. Then meeting the Blue Lanterns, because that's what counteracts the Red Lanterns. Then meeting the Orange Lanterns, which is where you get greed and avarice. Like, you, but they're, each one of those is its own arc.
7 hours later, Menti's done explaining the lantern colors.
All right, let's get into TV news.
Let's get into TV news.
So the first thing, let's talk about Wonder Girl.
Wonder Girl.
Yeah. The last time Wonder Girl was on TV, we were all pissed off because that was Titans and that sucked. that was one of the worst ending of a season I have ever seen in my life, and Wonder Girl has been tarnished because of it. Donna Troy, it's nothing against you. It's the writers just seem to hate you at the very end there. But this is not Donna Troy, which is pretty unique here, especially we're talking TV and we're not talking more historic versions of Wonder Girl. Now, there have been a few Wonder Girls, don't get me wrong. It's not just Donna Troy, but the not too long ago when we talked about Future State, we talked that there's going to be a new Amazonian, but not from Themyscira.
Like a legitimate Amazonian.
Yep. Who's going to be Brazilian and Latina. It's going to be a mix of the two. And she is going to be taking the place of Wonder Woman during Future State. So this is a CW show starring the character that will eventually be Wonder Woman as Wonder Girl. So this is, to me, there was more to the 5G than we may have thought. Because it's hard for me to believe that this is just like they thought of it all of a sudden. It wouldn't surprise me if they were kind of teaming these together.
Well, I also think that when Steven Amell and Arrow ended, which I have a few side notes on that from a recent interview he did, I think they needed to do something to put some excitement back into it. So I think tying it into a new comic and getting them kind of more synchronicity between the two is something that the Arrowverse needs to move forward.
And we got a little bit more information about her character, Yara Flor. She's part river god, I think that's what it is, from the Amazon. So that's what makes her, that's what gives her her powers and what makes her decide to take on the mantle of Wonder Girl.
That's cool.
So I'm excited. I'm very excited to see what this looks like. Her costume is super cool for the comic that she's about to get. By the way, there's going to be not a companion comic to the CW show, but a Wonder Girl comic that leads into the Wonder Woman one, which is kind of cool. But the design for this costume is so cool. It's like a teal almost on the inside. So it's the same normal gold, red, and blue, but this teal accent color that they use as like the base behind everything is just awesome looking. And then she's got this cool thigh tattoo as well. In general, this I'm more excited for this book than I thought I was going to be, or the show now.
Now, did you guys hear that we almost got another season of Arrow recently?
What?
So, Stephen Amell in an interview just said, with COVID going on, and the issue that CW was having possibly getting actors to Canada to film, he said he would be willing to do whatever it took to bring Arrow back and do something to make him undead and film another season if they ran into a spot where they couldn't film something to fill the gaps on TV. Now he said, Now it came down to they were able like to find ways to film and smaller, but he definitely called up everybody and they were on board. He said, whatever you take, let's not worry about contracts. Let's just do something to help keep the universe going.
They should just leave him be the Spectre for a season. Just a season. Like when Hal Jordan was the Spectre and he was just so detached and removed from everything, but he kept getting himself involved in everything. Yep. That role for Ollie would be hysterical. Like if all of a sudden they were in the Flash room and he just pops up and he's just like looking like an old homeless man going like, you should probably not do that.
Like a mid-season filler. 6 episodes, The Spectre.
Yeah, it would be awesome. It would be so cool.
But then they also asked him about the CW, whatever they're trying to call it. And he goes, I'm a little effing mad about that. He's like, it's the Arrowverse. He's like, and I feel that I have the right to be mad about them trying to change the name. It's the Arrowverse. I'm calling it the Arrowverse. Let's move on. And he moved on past the question.
It'll always be the Arrowverse.
It is the Arrowverse.
Speaking of the Arrowverse, we have a date for season 2 of Batwoman.
Yep, January 17th.
Yay. Moving on.
Could be cool. I don't know. I don't know enough about it yet. Design's cool, but that's all I got.
The 1 second you see of her in the teaser trailer they put up, she's a lot more bubbly as a Batwoman.
Yeah.
That could be cool.
Like she popped down like Spider-Man style in front of a thug. He's like, "Hey."
I like Stephanie Brown. So I might be able to get behind that. I like Stephanie Brown, so I could get behind that.
All right, what else we got? TV.
Well, okay, I want to watch how I talk about this because Maurer didn't catch up. But since we've reviewed The Mandalorian 2 episodes in a row and we're not going to be reviewing the third one, which is probably the most important episode.
Well, no, we can review that one. Just we'll post it on Saturday. We can record later this week.
Well, we already have another show. Oh, you want to do three shows this week?
We can do a third show because we're going to have a pretty big break coming up. So,
okay.
I decree it, so shall it be. You guys are getting an extra show this week.
Okay. Weird. Wasn't expecting that. So, yeah, I just like the episode then. That's all I'll leave you with.
All right, apparently, cool. That's how I get around that shit.
So, yeah, watch that episode and maybe watch Star Wars Rebels and Clone Wars. You probably need to watch those. All right, let's get into some movie news.
All right.
And the first one is probably the most important news because there was a lot of fear of this happening. And geez, if they went down this road, it would have been horrible.
And I can tell you from a very reliable source back when this unfortunately happened, this was not going to ever happen.
Who's your very reliable source?
A good friend of mine that actually works at Marvel Studios.
How are we just finding out about this source, baby?
We've always found out about it. The guy just can't say much. And I disagree. Yeah. I think the character is bigger than the actor. And they could have done it honorably, a la Paul Walker in Fast and Furious, and done something to let him bow out gracefully.
No, they couldn't.
No, I don't think there was any need to. So since we didn't really get into what we're talking about here, there was rumor of trying to digitally superimpose Chadwick Boseman into Black Panther 2. There was rumor that they were going to, I mean, not the whole movie, but some kind of scene to kind of set the transition in place, either to a new character or to Shuri, which is what I'm sure they're going to do. But instead, they're going to just keep him dead in the MCU. And right now, they're spending time on trying to figure out how to best honor Chadwick Boseman and the legacy that he left behind with this role. Which, to be fair, just as you were saying, the character's bigger than the actor, Maurer. I agree with you, but they already have the next in line already set. So there's no point in doing anything else. So they can just open it up with Shuri now having to become, you know, just to fill the shoes of T'Challa. Right off the bat, I'm now intrigued and interested. There's enough there that you don't need to. You know what I mean? Like, it's not necessary to pull it off.
Yeah, it's, to me, I still think you're not, if you did it in the right way. Listen, it's not like this is the first time an actor has died on the set. We had Paul Walker's huge influence on the Fast Furious. You had Brandon Lee that's died that they had to do things. They could have done things. And features, I'm a little shocked you're shaking your head because when we did the Boseman thing, you were for them digitizing him.
No, I wasn't.
So I want to know what changed your mind.
I wasn't for that. I wasn't for that. I was saying there's a way for them to do it where they could probably do like just a brief summary of, hey, he was injured during the last fight with Thanos. And he went into, you know, the ancestral plane. That's where he's going to be at. Shuri takes over, but not digitally imposing. And to be honest with you, if you spend enough time on Black Twitter, you would know that the there's going to be a different kind of blowback that I don't think Disney would be able to handle. It's just not. It wouldn't be good.
Yeah, the audience that made that movie as iconic as it was. You know, if they would lose that audience for the second one for doing that, yeah, that's not a risk they're willing to take. Mm-mm. And it doesn't need to happen. It doesn't impact the story that much. It's just filler for filler's sake. Like, we know they can do it. We know they have the ability. We've seen what they were able to do with Robert.
And they could probably do it better than what he looked like in the action sequences of the first movie.
Potentially, yeah. I'm not against that. I just, again, I don't see a point. I don't see a need to do it.
It's just going to be weird telling a story about him past and not seeing, I'm not saying his face, but the Black Panther costume, or showing something like you never showing the Black Panther character again. Like, it seems you're tiptoeing around.
It's not the Black Panther character. It's just T'Challa.
Yeah, it's more so the Black Panther is a mantle. The same way the Hobbit is just a suit. It's going to go to Shuri, which we all expect it to anyway. But T'Challa himself, we can't duplicate that. So,
and again, there's no value in it.
Until it's rebooted in 10 years.
Yeah, reboot it? Sure. At some point, a reboot's going to happen. You'll get a new T'Challa. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to everybody. You'll eventually get a new Iron Man. You'll eventually get a new Captain America. Give it another 20 years. Guaranteed. It's a guaranteed. Like, someone else will eventually to take up that role. But for right now, for Black Panther 2, I don't see a point. I don't see
and
a point.
And we don't know when this is coming out. This movie probably, I'm going to say,
no time soon.
Minimum 5 years, and who knows what's going to change in 5 years.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know 5 years, but yeah, I would
say
the
movie's on the
three.
Docket now. I was just reading something. For them to get the movies out that they want, we're talking 3 to 4 years with the way everything's going.
Oh, you mean the ones that are already written?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, then maybe that's true, because they still have to write this script. So, all right, let's rattle off a couple more bits of news here. First off, Chris Pratt's joining the cast of Thor: Love and Thunder, which isn't that shocking. We kind of already saw that coming. Yep. There's also rumor that other Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers might show up in that movie. Again, not shocking. It's kind of the bread and butter and the Hallmark staple of the MCU right now, which is kind of mini crossovers in the movies, a la Doctor Strange in Ragnarok. You know, it's kind of a thing that you just expect going to these movies at this point.
I'm just looking forward to see Joaquin Phoenix in the next Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, I heard about that. Well, apparently there's still rumor of Tom Cruise as Iron Man.
Yep.
So
all the casting
dreams.
Unaware,
you have to go back and listen to really old shows of this one to get these references. But Iron Man, they were looking at actually some of the concept art even had Tom Cruise as Tony Stark, as well as they originally wanted Joaquin Phoenix for Doctor Strange before Benedict Cumberbatch. He actually said he got the role and actually turned it down.
Yeah, he turned it down. They offered him. He had money in front of it. He said no. They offered more money, but he wouldn't sign the contract with more than one movie role. Like, he would only sign one appearance.
I hope they get. I want them to get Wesley Snipes and just have a quick shot of Blade. Just one quick shot.
He'd probably do it for $20 and a Snickers.
No, like, all they got to do is give him a post-it note that says, "Blade, we need you." He'd be there in a heartbeat. He'd be there in a heartbeat. If anybody is unaware of what I just referred to, type in Patton Oswalt Blade movie. Go to YouTube and you'll laugh your ass off when you hear about that story.
All right.
All right.
Yesterday, you guys saw a new trailer.
Yeah. It was great.
Awesome. I can't believe they didn't use the song I thought they were going to use.
Oh, no, they didn't have the rights to that song.
That's why it was all taken down.
So they couldn't use that song. For anybody unaware of the gag here, the Snyder Cut trailer is apparently coming out tomorrow for us, yesterday for you when you actually hear this. I hope it was cool. That's all I can really say. We know we... crap ton of extra footage went in to get 4 more minutes into that movie.
And we almost got even more. Zack Snyder had talked about wanting to cast Catwoman in this, and he wanted somebody who he's worked with in the past, Carla Gugino. I can never say her name.
You got it.
She was Marv's therapist in Sin City. She was in Spy Kids. She was in Gerald's Game.
Oh, I see who she is.
So
is she Jet Li's wife in The One too? She's Jessica.
She
Rabbit.
Was. She was Alexandria Daddario's mother in San Andreas.
I want to just talk about The One now. that me.
But he wanted a Catwoman that was a little bit older to go with the Batman, and he wanted to tie their relationship into it, and that was who he wanted to cast for it. So who knows with what happens with this if we'll actually see it.
Also with that Joker, getting the Batman, Suicide Squad Joker.
Yeah.
Apparently he's going to look a lot different too. Like, they're going to change his look for this movie.
Good.
And apparently he burnt Dick Grayson to death.
Yep.
Like, the more you hear about Zack Snyder's vision, the darker this gets, the more injustice it feels.
Listen, I'm done with it when he talked about raping Batman.
Yeah.
Because
that's
that
the thing.
Happen.
We tend to forget about that one.
No, well, we don't.
That's his vision. That. Like, that's as far as he wants to take it. So he needs
no,
to.
No, that's not. That wasn't his vision. He just said That's not. That you're taking that quote way out of context. It's a bad quote, but that's not his
He's
vision.
Got storyboards of it.
He was just saying that you can't say what I did was dark, because if I had it my way, Batman would be raped in prison. but he doesn't have it his way.
Thank goodness.
We never have to worry about that scene.
This isn't Burger King.
All right, well, we're given an extra issue this week. This issue is already long. I'm going to say Menti do that thing.
Yeah, you can find the show Welcome to Fireside everywhere online. That's at Welcome to Fireside, your social media choice, unless it's Twitter, which is Fireside Crew. And if you like the show, comment, like, rate, subscribe. It all goes a long way. It helps other people find the show. Once again, I'm Menti.
And I'm Features.
I'm Huey.
And I'm Mr. Maurer. Don't forget to check out WelcomeToFireside.com. Deuces.
Yep.
Deuces.
Excelsior.